The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha, Parsha Ki Seitzei, Perachov Gimel Posuk Dalet. Lo yove amoni umaavi bekal Hashem, gam dor asiri lo yove lehem bekal Hashem ad olam. Ammon and Moab. These were two nations. These two nations were born to the union between Lot, Abraham's nephew, and his daughters. The Torah tells us they're not allowed to marry into the congregation, central congregation of Hashem. Even Dor Asiri, even 10 generations, that means forever. What does it mean you shouldn't marry into the central community? We're speaking that as time went on, let's say there were individuals that were Megayer. They became converts, and they became Geri Tzedek, righteous converts. And someone who's Megayer, he can marry almost anyone from Klal Yisrael. Can't marry a Kohen, but he can marry almost anyone. Ammon and Moab are not allowed to. They can marry in the periphery, but they cannot marry into the central community, even after 10 generations of converts. Ad olam. Why? So two reasons are given. Alvara shekidmo eschem, alvara shelekidmo eschem, balecha vavamayim bederech betzeischem imisroim. When you were going out of Egypt and you came to their land, to cross their land, they would not come out to meet you with bread and waters. Their actions were not friendly to you at all. You didn't come to war against them. You weren't allowed to take their lands because those lands were promised to Bnei Lot, to the descendants of Lot. But they wouldn't come out to meet you with bread and water. In other words, with provisions. And they were very inhospitable to you. Then a second reason is given. Also, it was Moab that went, that was one of them, and hired Bilam to curse you. These are the two reasons. Now, this evening we're interested in the first reason. The Torah says a little further in Posukhes. Leisisaev ad. No, excuse me. Posuk Tes. Posuk. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Posuches, leisisaev adomiki achichohu. You shall not hate. You shall not be unfriendly. Or distant. Distance. Someone from Edom. Edom is Esau's descendants. Because he's your brother. Leisisaev mitzri. You shall not reject an Egyptian. Kigero yisaba adsoi. Because you were a stranger in his land. This evening we're interested in the Mitzri, the Egyptian. You shall not reject or distance a Mitzri and an Egyptian. Again, it's speaking that somewhere along the line you had some individuals that wanted to convert. They became Geri Tzedek, righteous converts. Now they want to marry. States Bonim Ashivoldalem Doshlishi Yovalem Akal Hashem. They're descendants of the third generation. In other words, one is Megayer, converts. He nor his son cannot marry into the central congregation, but his grandson can. What is the reason given for this? Because you were a stranger in their land. Rashi explains a little more. You're not allowed to eject or be hostile towards an Egyptian at all. Now, here we're speaking about those that do tshuva. And they did tshuva, and they were makabel taryag mitzvahs. They accepted all of the mitzvahs and became Yisraelim, Jewish. But you should not hold anything against him. Even though there's good reason why you should, because it was their ancestors that stood up to destroy us. Pare, he decreed, he and his nation, that every male child should be killed, thrown into the river, and they enslaved our entire nation. So therefore we certainly should hold a grudge against them. No, you should not. Matam, what is the reason? The reason is, Shoyelachem Aksanya Bishasat Chak. Because when Yaakov Avinu came down with the 70 people of his household, and this was before Vayokom Melech, the Shanu king stood up, what happened? You needed a place to stay. There was a famine throughout the entire world. There was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, and this is why they came. They opened their doors to you. The king of Egypt said, you can go to Eretz Mitzrayim, go dwell in Eretz Goshen, which is the best of Egypt. Since they opened their doors to you when you needed it, therefore you shall not hold any grudge against them. And if they come to convert, you not only do you have to accept them, which we do basically on all, but the third generation can marry the best from Klal Yisrael. This is what is amongst these things. This is what is brought here. This evening, as mentioned, we're interested in 2 points. First of all, we're interested, and it states that Amon and Moav is not allowed to marry into the central congregation ad olam, forever. And the Egyptians, on the third generation from conversion, can marry into the central congregation. And the reasons are given. Now, this is a parsha. This is these halachas that are in the Torah are of great wonderment. And we have to ask on it. Firstly, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have against Ammon and Moab? What did they do wrong? They didn't come out when you were coming by the land. They didn't come to meet you with lechem and mayim. From the Torah it seems later on that you had to buy the lechem and mayim from them, the bread and the water, the provisions. They didn't come and meet you. All right. So they weren't such great gemlei chasodim. But therefore, that's a reason ad olam that they should be rejected from coming into Klal Yisrael, from marrying into Klal Yisrael forever. Also, what is the Aveira? Where does it say in the Torah? Where does it say in the Torah that a Ben Nayach, a non-Jew, is obligated in Gemilas Chesed? A Jew is obligated in Chesed to do generosity, be generous in kindliness to others. From the 7 mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, doesn't state that he has to do Chesed. First, understandable. If he does, it's a very fine thing. But if he doesn't, and he's rejected forever. That's one wonderment that we have to ask. The second halacha we also have to ask. The Egyptians, on the other hand, now we're talking about someone else. We're not talking about someone that didn't bring us provisions. We're talking about someone who took everything away from us. In the times of Joseph, the Hebrews in Egypt, lived the best possible life. They were wealthy. Comes a new king, Vayokav Melech Chodesh, and he decides to enslave all of the people and abduct them and all of their possessions. And then he works us with Averis Perach. We go build cities for him. Pisem and Ramses, great store cities, pyramids, whatnot. We build up the whole country for him. Doesn't pay us. Wasn't the question that he didn't come to offer bread and provisions. After taking everything we owned, they won't pay us. Very little. Even later on, they wouldn't even give us the material to build with. We had to go find our own straw and make our own bricks. And they put one decree after another on us. And one of the decrees was to destroy our children. So these were Nazis, Yimach Shemoh. And we were enslaved by them for many, many, many years. And state that there was Avodas Perech, slave labor, merirus, bitterness. And they were kefrim b'Hashem after Moshe came and he executed all of the plagues. Still Parai won't listen. Mi Hashem. She'esh ma'ilech. Ooh, who's this God that I must listen to? So these people we really should reject from Klal Yisrael forever. Here comes a descendant. He's Megaya, he does tshuva. And he does tshuva. And we say that after the third generation, he can marry into Klal Yisrael. You shouldn't reject them. Because when you needed them, Yaakov came down, and there was a famine in the land, you needed a place. That king, whether he was a different king or the same king, but he was a different type of person, he gave you, said you could dwell in the best of Egypt. So this seems very, very strange. From one aspect, you have people, Amen and Mayav, they didn't do any Aveira, they just didn't show great chesed to us. Okay? Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Ad Olam, they shall not become part of you forever. And here you have the Egyptians. There are people we should reject forever. And it states now, No, you cannot reject them. Let them come. Because they once did this favor for you. Does not seem logical and does not seem at all fair. Let's see if we can find some answers to this evening. The Ramban in Chumash, he asks this question on the Ammon and Moab. And he says as follows. He says, really, this that they didn't come out with lechem amayim, bread and water for you, this is not such a simple thing. Because these were not plain people. These were relatives of yours. As mentioned, they were the descendants of Lot, from the union of Lot and his daughters. Lot was a nephew of Avraham, so actually they were from the seed of Abraham. But not only were they descendants of yours, not only they were craving relatives, excuse me, not descendants, but relatives, but also in whose merit are they living? Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy all of Sodom and Amorah. Avraham tried to stop the process. In the end, he wasn't successful because they couldn't find any tzaddikim there, any righteous people. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to destroy all of Sodom v'Amora, which he did. Except, he sent the angels there to save Lot and his family. Because I'll tell them, it wasn't because Lot was righteous. Lot should have been destroyed with the rest of them. But that was Bezkus Avraham. For that, Avraham's intervention helped. that at least Lot would be saved. Now, if Lot and his daughters were saved because of Abraham, and that's why Ammon and Moab came into the world, and that's why they're in the world. And now the descendants of Abraham come into the desert, and they're coming near your land, and you cannot show generosity to them. That's a different story. You cannot recognize and show the gratitude for your entire existence to the children of Abraham. Now, then something is very wrong. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let them be rejected forever. The Ramban doesn't go into Egypt, but here we see Egypt was just a contrast. Because when Yaakov and his family came down, Pare did not directly owe anything to Yaakov and his family in those days. That's true. I mean, Yosef did a lot for Egypt, but Pare didn't. Pare was in the world without the help of the Bnei Yisrael. He didn't owe that much to Yaakov and his family. And he could have said, look, we don't want strangers here. We don't want outsiders here. And even if he accepted them, didn't have to give them the best of Egypt, to Eretz Mitzrayim. And still, he said, give them Goshen, it's the best of Egypt, and let them live as well as they can. So we have these two contrasts. Here, Ammon and Moab owed great gratitude to the Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and they couldn't show any gratitude. Egypt, on the other hand, they owed basically nothing to Yaakov and his family, and they opened the doors to them. They became achsanya lehem b'shas hadchak. They came in achsanya. They opened their doors to you when you needed it, and therefore you cannot forget that. But let's go into this a little deeper. Still, our question is, what Aveira did Ammon and Moab do? All right, they should have been kind to us. They should have been generous to us. And they weren't. But this is not one of the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. Where are the Bnei Noach commanded on Chesed? The answer to this is, they were not rejected because of an Aveira. They committed no Aveira. They were rejected for another reason. They were rejected because HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in their nature and in their character that they will never be able to fit into Klal Yisrael. Not because of Aveira. Because they will not be capable of fitting into Klal Yisrael. And this will explain just now. Meanwhile, what do we see from all of this? From one aspect, we see the great reward of the Gemel Chasodim. Pare was Gemel Chesed, did Chesed for Klal Yisrael. And his descendants forever would have a place amongst Am Yisrael. And this is even by Ben Noach. In other words, the great reward of those who do chesed, even if he's not from the seed of Abraham. And this we find in other places also. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Adelam. This we find in other places also. For example, Bas Pare, the daughter of Pare. She went out of her way not only to save Moshe, but to adopt him and to bring him up in her house, in the palace. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu forever called Moshe by the name that she gave him, not by the other names that the parents gave him. We see this also by Yisro. Yisro opened his house to Moshe when Moshe needed a place. And look what happened to Yisro. He became a part of Yisrael, and his descendants became a part of the Sanhedrin. So this is one point we see. that the great reward of the Gemel Chasodim, and even by the nations of the world. Second point we see is the obligation to recognize and to show gratitude to someone who has done chesed to you. Because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding. Really, the Egyptians you should reject. They were like the Nazis, Yimach Shemo. And their descendants you shouldn't have anything to do with. But can't be. Because you cannot close your eyes or your memory to the good that they did for you when you needed them. How long must one have appreciation? For how long? Someone does you a favor? All right, you thank him. Maybe you do something in return. When is the debt paid up? We see the debt is forever. It's never paid up. Kodesh Baruch Hu said forever. Forever, when their children come and they want to become part of Israel and they accept mitzvahs, don't say, now, they're Egyptians, the Nazis. Don't say, all right, we paid them back. We've done enough favors for them. Forever, you must open your doors to them. Because that's what they did to you. This is what the Torah is telling us. So you see, from the other hand, that if someone does something good to you, the great responsibility to recognize that and always to show appreciation and gratitude for it. That's the second point we see from here. What is the third point? The third point is this. If someone lacks that ability, someone lacks the ability to recognize and to remember something good that you did for him. We see the enormous girayin and genus, the enormous mum, the enormous blemish it is in that individual, to the point where because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was marachik, he rejected Amen and Moav from Klal Yisrael forever. They didn't do any Aveira. In fact, they didn't do any evil to us. It's what they didn't do. They didn't bring provisions for us. And what was so bad about that? Because they should have, recognizing the great goodness that Abraham did for their fathers. And because they failed to do so, they refused to do so, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is such a mum, this is such an imperfection in them, such a genu, such a disgrace in them, I don't want them forever in my nation. That's the third point you see from here. These are great wonderments. Now, we said that the reason why Ammon and Moab were being rejected forever, not because of an Aveira, because this is not one of the mitzvahs, Zayin mitzvahs, seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, but because they just won't fit in. They had such a rotten character because of that, they would not fit into Klal Yisrael. How do we know to say this? First of all, the Rambam brings. The Rambam brings in Perek Yud from Matonis Anim. He says, if you find a Jew that's not able to open his hand for tzedakah, he has a brother in need, and he's not able, He has a brother in need who needs something, and you have what to give him. And you cannot open your hand to him. He says, that's an aksor. An aksor means a cruel person. Generally, we think of cruelty. Someone who takes an animal and taunts him, tortures him. This is cruelty, cruelty to animals. Or kal vachomer, if you show cruelty to a human being. But here you're doing nothing. Just not giving him from what yours is. No, the Rambam says, Ariza Aksor. That's a cruel person. If you have, and someone else needs, and you have enough not only for yourself, but enough to give him also, and you don't, he says, Ariza Aksor. This is a cruel person. And then he carries on to say that Yesh Lochush Liachusei. On such a person, we can suspect that he might not be from the seed of Abraham. He's Jewish. He lives in Glen Hazel. He lives in Flatbush. He lives in Borough Park. He goes to shul like anybody else. He puts on tefillin like anybody else. He might even do more than others. He might even eat mahadrin also. The Rambam says, Yesh lochu shliachusai. He's under suspicion. He might have mixed into Klal Yisrael through the back door. He's not one of the Jews. He's not from the seed of Abraham. Why? Because ein mitzuin achzoris ella eitzol ha'evdei zora. Cruelty was not one of the character traits of Avraham Avinu, nor of his seed. Again, he's not talking about someone who tortures someone. He's talking merely about someone where I have enough for myself and for you, and you don't have, you need, and I refuse to give you. This is in Hilchos Toka. This is what the Rambam says. And he goes further to say that when a person is generous with his own, and he can give tzedakah, he says that's the greatest siman, that's the greatest sign that he's a real Jew, that he comes from the seed of Abraham. Because this is what Abraham entrenched and instilled in his children. So we see, to bring in people that have a cruel nature. What is a cruel nature? Well, they couldn't give to someone in need. To bring them into the Jewish nation, no. They won't fit. That's not from the character of Avraham Avinu. And we find this further. We find that David HaMelech learned this. Where did he learn this from? Because many, many generations later, there was a there was a sect of people, a certain nation of people, who were called the Gibonim. They weren't Israeli. And there was a whole miser with the sons of Shaul and so forth. And they showed, that was a case of real Aksorius, and they showed enormous cruelty. And they evidently had been Megayer to come into Klal Yisrael. David, because of this, he was the king, he decreed on them forever that they should always have the status of a third-class citizen, sort of slaves or subjects, and never be able to marry into the central community of Klal Yisrael. And when asked why, so the Gemara explains. He says, Leimi b'nei Yisrael heimah. They're not Jews. What does he mean they're not Jews? Even if they're Megayer. He says, this is not from our people. Well, how do you know? See, the Gemara brings, because it's the Gemara Perek Oral Daf Ein Tes, because he says Shleisha Simonim Yesh Be'umazu. We have three trademarks how to identify a Jew. Generally, if someone asks, how do you identify a Jew? Look to see if he has a bris milah. Look to see if he's wearing tzitzis. This is good, but it's not always so. You have someone who's not a Jew that also can circumcise himself. You can have someone who's not a Jew also puts on tzitzis. But we have three trademarks which are 100%, the Gemara says. Shleisha Simonim Yesh Bumasu. There are three trademarks, identifying marks, how you can identify a Jew. Rachmonim, they are compassionate. Baishonim, they are Baishonim, which means, it's a difficult word to translate. Baishonim means they're not brazen. They're not mechutzef, they're not chutzpah, they're not brazen. And they're kind, they're generous. Rachmanim deceive. How do we know this? Because in the Torah it states, "V'nosan l'cho rachamim v'yikamcho v'hir b'cho." Ma'ir anidechas HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I will inculcate in you my rachamim, my compassion." He said to the Israel, "Baishonim b'avur tia yirose al peneichem." How do we know that they're not brazen? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm bringing you to Har Sinai, and there you will see me. And when you see the miracles of Har Sinai with your own eyes, that will make such an impression on your soul that my fear will be on your faces forever. Brazen is known as an asponim, someone who's arrogant and a brazen face and forehead. But I impressed you with my fear forever, your osi al peneichem on your faces. So if you see someone who's got too much chutzpah, also, it's a shaila. What's the third? Goim lechasodim. Generosity. How do we know? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu, he says, "Leman Asher Yitzav is born of Beis Achrav." HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Why did I choose Avraham Avinu? Because I can guarantee, not with anyone else, but just with Avraham, that he will command his sons and his household after." Avraham was the great educator. He will entrench in all of his children, "Leman Asher Yitzav is born of Beis Achrav." Lishma dera Hashem, to guard the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Blasa is mishpot utztoka, and to do mishpot, to do what's just, and tztoka, charity. So David HaMelech said, these people, we can't elevate them to the status of Israel, where they're going to be like a first-class citizen in Israel. So here we see, it's not necessarily because of Avera. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't command them on these mitzvahs. But it makes such a mum, such an imperfection in their character that they can't become part of Am Yisrael. In this posuk that the Gemara brings, that we learn from Avraham Avinu, Gemilas Chesed, the posuk states that I brought Avraham close and I chose him because this is a posuk in Vayiro, Yudches Yutes, because Yodativ Laman Hashem Yitzav is born of a Beise Achrav. States three things: Vishomru derech Hashem, Lasei Stoko Mishpat. Doesn't say really Gemilas Chesed. It says Stoko Mishpat. But what it implies is that's the main derech Hashem. Avraham will guard my way And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way is chesed, and also he will guard, he will teach his children stoka and mishpot. Now these are three levels. Mishpot, that's the yosha, the shuras adin. That means justice. Not to the right and not to the left. You must do what is just. Abraham will implant in his children a love of justice and a capability to do justice. If you steal, you're taking something that belongs to someone else. Not only that's not chesed, not only that's not stoka, that's not just, that's not mishpot. For Tisha B'Av we gave a shir on kilkel mishpot. The second attribute that's brought here, stoka. Mishpot, second is stoka. Stoka is a bit of both. From one aspect, stoka is more than justice. Because justice requires that what is yours and what is mine. I shouldn't take what's yours and you shouldn't take what's mine. Stoka is where there's already an obligation for me to give you what's mine. So that's going beyond the deen. But from the other aspect, it's called stoka, tzedek. Tzedek means justice. Tzedek means that what is emes. So it's a mixture. The Maral explains, because from one aspect, it's a chesed. I'm giving you something that is mine. But in the other aspect, I should do it. Because you're hungry, and I have more than enough food for myself. The Chazal refer to that as compassion, rachamim. In other words, the rachamim requires that you give him stoka. Then, there's the highest level, which is gemilas chesed. And that's a derech Hashem. What is that? That's chanun. That's what is known as chesed chinom. That's where you do good for others, even though there's no reason and requirement to do so. It's not like stoka. That's why the Gemara says that stoka is la'aniyim. Stoka you give to the poor. Chesed is bein la'aniyim, bein la'ashirim. Chesed you do to the wealthy also. You do a favor for a wealthy person, or you bring him a gift. He doesn't need the gift. He's got plenty. But nevertheless, you're doing it to show an oshava, to show and create a bond between him and the other person, between you and him. And this is where does this come from? This comes, if there's no reason why to do this, if there's no dechak, there's nothing pushing you to do it. Justice, the logic requires justice. Stoka, the rachamim and compassion requires you to do stoka. What's requiring you to do chesed? It's an effect without a cause. There's nothing that's causing it. There's no logical reason why you should do it. And actually, this is a great teller. This is a great wonderment. And because of this, the Maral writes that chesed is the tov hagomor. It's the ultimate in pure goodness. This shows that a person has so much goodness in him that he wants to share it with others. Especially if he's a reidev chesed, if he looks to do chesed, wants to share it with others. Where does this come from? This comes actually from an avo, avas habrias. Person loves people, so he wants to do good to them. Or avas chesed. This is why we find all the time the term avas chesed. If we go into this deeper, this is an area which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the human being as a special gift that belongs to him himself. Because there's a principle in the world which has no exception. And that's cause and effect. Nothing takes effect if there was nothing prior that caused it. If there were not circumstances or influences or whatever that caused it. The only exception to that rule is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate cause for everything. And the ultimate cause for everything can't be affected by something else, otherwise there's another cause. And this the Chazal explains and the Rambam explains. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is the one who's known as the ultimate Nosein. He gives. Others, we cannot give unless we have to give. What we have to give, we didn't make. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. He's the ultimate cause for everything. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu states, is what he does is with chesed, even machalkil chayim b'chesed. He gives panosa with chesed. Even though there would be a logic he should give panosa, because he created the person, so now he has to feed him. But that's not why he gives panosa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the giver. He gives into the world non-stop without any power forcing him to give. Because he, in essence, is the giver. Everything flows from him. And nothing flows to him. This ability he implanted in the human being. He gave the human being where he could also be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'tzalmeinu, B'tzelem Elokim. He has the ability to give where it will be a pure giveness and nothing externally influence or force that giving. Where do we find that? That's by chesed. We don't find it by Mishpat, and we don't find it by Tzedakah. We find it by Chesed. Although a person can do Tzedakah with Chesed also. He can look to do Tzedakah to such a degree that he wants to do it, even though there's no external pressures. And in this way, the individual can emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, who was the greatest Esa Chesed in the world? This was Avraham Avinu. We see when the Torah goes to great length to tell of the Chesed of Avraham. We see this in the whole story of the angels where the Torah goes to such great length. And there, Mitzad HaSeichel, Mitzad Logic, Avraham shouldn't have done it. He was an old man. How old was he? He was 99 years old. He just went through an operation. He was sick. It was an extremely hot day. What's he doing out of bed? What's he doing running around? So logic, that was totally against logic. And we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it a very hot day in order he shouldn't be bothered. But why in the end did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring the Malachim? Because he saw that he was upset that he couldn't do any good that day. Well, what are you upset for if nobody comes? Nobody comes to ask you for anything, so why is it necessary? Avraham had to do good all of the time. Where's it coming from? That was goodness in its ultimate purity. Because this is what he was made of. We see this, even Hu Heilech Imon L'Shalchom. wasn't enough on everything he did, he went and he was malava them, escorted them to give them that extra honor. Avraham was a very, very great known individual. The Rambam says, from there he established a chok, a statute forever for his children, that a guest comes, you give him that honor, or you walk him on the way. We see in his Arbot Sestera, and he was caught up Hashem Hashem. What did he have to go teach Torah to everyone for? He had thousands of Talmidim, what for? It's enough that he learned, Sora learned. He taught Yitzchok. No. He had to go give Torah to everyone he saw and tell everyone about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Stom v'amora. He was wrong there. He intervened to save Stom v'amora. He was ready to do battle with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chazal tell us. He was wrong, as we see in the end. Couldn't even find a handful of tzaddikim to save the cities. Five cities. The Kulam Rishayim. So what's he intervening for? He wanted to do good for them. He wanted to save them. This was Avraham. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu says that Ki Yadati, I brought Avraham close because I know not only what he is, but he will entrench this, implant this in his children. Forever they'll be implanted. Lishma derech Hashem, to guard my way. He's a giver. Nobody's telling him to give. In fact, they're telling him not to give. They're telling him don't mix into Shdeim v'amora and stay in bed and get recuperated and so forth and so on. No. This is the derech Hashem. And Lasa Istoko Mishpot. And this he'll implant in his children forever. And that's why the Rambam says that if someone can give with a full generosity at that level, that's a sign that he's from Avraham Avinu. If someone has the ability to share what he has with others and the others don't have and he has, he says, that is Achzorius. That's an Achzor. But in Ein Achzorius Mitzuyin, you don't find Achzorius by the Zer Avraham. He must be from some other nation. And this is why David HaMelech saw the Gibeinim cannot come in. He says, they're not Baishonim, they're not Rachmonim, they're not Gemli Chasodim. And this is Avraham learned from David HaMelech learned from here. Here, Ammon and Moab didn't do actually any active cruelty. They merely didn't come out with provisions. But sorry, they were tight-fisted. If they were tight-fisted, and they had, and Klal Yisrael could have used. And not only that, the Ramban mentions that they were Meshalim Ra Tachas Teva. Why were they Meshalim Ra Tachas Teva? Because they were tight-fisted to someone who was so generous to them. Because Avraham went beyond the limitations to ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu at least to save Lot. Again, he had no business doing that. Why should Lot been saved? Lot was a Rosh like the rest of them. But Avraham wouldn't let up. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed, all right, we'll save Lot. So to someone who gave you such generosity, and you close your eyes to it, when his children are coming, and you won't come out and show them generosity, the Ramban calls that not just a case where they do not recognize and remember and show the gratitude for something good to you, but Mishalim Rata has tova. He says that's evil in a place where someone was generous to you, where someone was good to you. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, this is not for us, these people. They won't fit in. Not that they did Averus, but they're not going to fit in the Klal Yisrael, therefore Ad Olam. Yeah, they almost must, even if they do tshuva and they are makabel mitzvahs, they almost have to be in the periphery. We find that the same thing when Abraham sent Eliezer to find a zivu, to find a wife for Yitzchok. What did he test Rivka on? He tested on Gemilas Chesed. Because he said to come into Avram's house, she's got to fit in. How was she was an idolater. Because her whole family was an idolater. And she came from a house of Rishoyim. He says, let me see if she has Chesed. He tested her on the double Chesed. Not only did he say that the one that comes to me, and I'll ask her for some water, and she'll say, Shase Adoni, drink, my Lord, but further, she'll say, Gam Gemalecha Ashke, and I'll even give to your camels. So we explained that many times. Because if you ask someone for something, especially he was a senior to her, this that she gives is not necessarily a chesed at its best. It's merely to comply with someone's request. But if on her own she says, I'll bring drink for all of your 10 camels, and camels have a capability to drink a lot, and nobody ever asked her for that, then he says, oh, now I know Zui Ruya, she is fit for my master's house. We see from here, from what we spoke about, that someone who lacks this ability, this ability to do chesed, chesed tzloka, we see it's not that they're lacking a great level. But we see that this is a pagam. This is a great imperfection in the Tzelem Elokim. And we see this other places because what was the great Aveira of Sdom V'Amora? What started it all? Ultimately, they went down, down, down. And they became so cruel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu totally wiped them off the map. And that's even used as the sign all of the time, Kemapechas Sdom V'Amora. Whenever the prophets or the writers want to show of the greatest destruction, they say it was Kemapechas Sdom V'Amora, like the destruction of Sdom V'Amora. So it became a simen ladover. It became an illustration of a total annihilation, not only of the people, but the whole place. I mentioned once, we were in Eretz Yisrael, and we were traveling through where Sdom V'Amora was. And it was desert. So I asked the Arab, it was an Arab driver, can't you plant things here? He says, never, it's salt. It's all salt, he says. The soil's full of salt. Now, what brought them to this? Mora says something very strange what brought them to this. Mora says, Shemidu kol divrecham al midas adin. It started not because they were such cruel people. It started because they wanted everything in accordance to the letter of the law. And that's what the Mishnah Novi says. Someone who says, Shali, Shali, v'shalcho, shalcho, yeshemim zomidestom. They said, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. They didn't start out as Ganovim. Well, Ganovim says, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. They didn't start off like that. They said, Shali, Shali, or shalcho, shalcho. What is mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. I won't ask you for anything, and you don't ask me for anything. You would say, look, that's not bad. I mean, today we got people, halavai. Yeah, that's not bad. No. That is bad. Because that's not the Tzelem Elohim. That means it's a person that wasn't given, that doesn't have the power of giving. What is mine, and what is yours, don't you give me anything, and I won't give you anything. You don't have the power of giving. That's good for the, perhaps the animal kingdom. But the human being was made Mitzelem Elohim. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatest kayach, to be the nosein that he gave to the human being. And the Gemara says further, the Gemara says, what's the case of Zen Nenem Zelechosar? The Gemara says, if I have something, and you want to use it, but it's you're going to use it in a way, well, I will lack nothing from your usage. See, I will lack nothing from your usage. For example, I have a wall, and you live on the other side of the wall, and you want to use the side of the wall on your side, not to hang things or something, but in a way where it'll do absolutely no damage to my wall and not impair me at all. And I say no. I says, look, legally it's my wall, and therefore you hands off. And the Gemara says, that's Zen Nenev Zelechosa. It's beneficial to you, and it's no loss to me. You know what the Gemara says? The Gemara says, in such a case, you can take that person to Beis Din. And Beis Din will force him to let you use the side of the wall. The Gemara says, on what basis? Because Zu Midas Daim, this was the way of Sdom. And we're not allowed to conduct ourselves in the way of Midas Sdom. Not a goy, a Jew, if you think. Kefin al Midas Daim. See? Because that's Midas Sdom. If I let you use something of mine, it's going to inconvenience me, or it's going to cause a loss, that's a different story. Then you're asking for stalker for chesed. Then also, that's a different story. But it's going to cause me no loss whatsoever. Gemara says, that's rishus. So this is, the Gemara says, this is how they started out. And they went to the lowest level of humanity. Now how, why? Like we said, because they eradicated the power of giving from themselves. And a human being without the power of giving is not a human being. All of humanity relies on one giving the other. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu imbued into humanity. If we go one step further, we see that really this was Lot. When Lot decided, Avram and Lot decided that they must separate. So Avram said, Lot, take your choice. Wherever you want, you go, and I'll go the other way. Lot looked around, and it says he saw Sdom Va'Amora, and he chose that's where he wants to go. What attracted him there? Motza min es minay. A person is attracted to something in which he can identify with. He was able to identify with those people. And this was Lot. And from Lot came Ammon and Moab, who were such sorry ayin, which was even worse. Because here a guy asked me to use my wall, what do I owe him? I owe him nothing. But here Ammon and Moab owed a great debt to Klal Yisrael, because it was their father that saved them. And we find the same thing the Mevorashim bring in Megillus Rus. It states that Elimelech, Ish Naomi, the husband of Naomi, he went out of Eretz Yisrael Where did he go to? He went to Moav. Why did he go to Moav? And so much sorrow happened to him there. It states because there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, Mahirov, and he was very wealthy, and all of the Aniyim, all of the Mishalochim were all coming to him. And he ran away. It says he was sorry Aim. He was tight-fisted, he was stingy. And he ran away. Why did he run to Moav? He could identify there, because they were the Tzori Ayin. That attracted him. He gravitated. Close-fisted. That was the great Chiddush that Rus came from there, because Rus was the Metzias of Koach Chesed. She was the essence of Chesed if you look through the whole book. Now, this was the chait of Amayin v'mayev, and therefore they rejected forever Asher leikidmu eschem b'lechem b'mayev. Now he said that by Mitzrayim, Egypt, even though they did far worse to us, they enslaved the whole nation, they killed our male children. They were the real cruel ones. It wasn't just a question of withholding something from us. But we're not allowed to forget the goodness they did for us. Haksani b'shas hadchak, that when we needed them, they opened the doors to us. Now this quality, how would we define this quality? What would we call it? We would say that they have to be marketable. You have to remember something good that someone did to you. Always remember it and show gratitude and appreciation. And we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires we should remember this all of the time. And therefore forever, whenever their children come, we have to accept them. We must realize this is not a different quality. This quality of appreciation or gratitude is not a different quality. This is the same chesed. Except this is the other end of the pole. Because this is showing chesed to someone that did chesed to you. They did chesed to us. We have to recognize it and return it. And this is not such a great quality. What do we mean it's not such a great quality? This is not chesed at its best. Someone to show appreciation, to say that he's a great man because he shows appreciation, he's not such a great man because he shows appreciation. If he doesn't show appreciation, he's like an animal. But to show appreciation, this is a very fundamental. It's not from the high quality of chesed. Why? The Vilna Gaon writes in Sefer Yeshua that such a thing is not even chesed. To show appreciation for a goodness that was done to you, and therefore return the chesed, he says that's not chesed, that's din, that's emes. You're paying a debt. Chesed is where to do chesed for someone that never did chesed to you. That's chesed. That's the chesed of Avraham Avinu. What did Avraham owe the Malachim? What did he owe Sodom v'Amorah? But to do chesed to someone that did chesed to you, he says that's the payment of a debt. So that's not chesed at its best. But to the contrary, someone who can't do that, then that's at the worst. That's at the worst. In other words, someone who can't do chesed to someone that he doesn't know, all right, maybe it's forgivable. But to do chesed to someone that did chesed to you? No, that's rock bottom. And he says that's why the Gaon writes by Yeshua, when the spies went into the land in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, and Rochav concealed the spies, and they said, "We want to repay you. You saved our lives." So she says, "Just like I did chesed to you, you do chesed for me also, and save me and my family." So they answered, "We will do chesed ve'emes to you." Why did they answer chesed and emes? They said, "To save you, that's not chesed. That's the repayment of a debt. You saved us, so we owe you. We have to save you. You saved us, you owed us nothing. Now we save you, that's not chesed. We owe it to you. Someone lends you money and he owes you nothing. That's chesed. Now in return you lend him money. That's not the same chesed. That's deen, that's the repayment of a debt. That's why they said we'll do emes. But we have to do chesed also to you. We have to do something for you that we don't owe you in order to repay the chesed that you did to us that you didn't owe. Therefore we'll save your whole family too." That's why it states chesed ve'emes, they answered. So here, now we can understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so makbid, he was so exacting, by saying that these Egyptians, these are like the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, the other enemies of Klal Yisrael. They're from the prime enemies of Klal Yisrael. But he said, Chas v'sholom, heaven forbid, in your hatred towards them, you should not show chesed to them for the chesed that they did to you. Heaven forbid. The goyim, their enemies, they're murderers. And if someone comes and he wants to do tshuva, and he wants to be a megayer, and you're going to say, no, we know who your fathers were. He says, heaven forbid you should say that. Because then you're not even showing appreciation for someone that did chesed to you. In other words, you cannot return. You can't. It's not a question of doing chesed to someone that you owe nothing to. But you can't even do chesed to someone that you owe it to. That's the bottom of the barrel. That's the bottom of the barrel. He says, not by Israel. It could be by others, but not by Israel. Therefore, it says, Rashi says, when the Torah says Leisesayiv Mitzri, Rashi says, even though it would be befitting, to hate them because of what they did to you, but you can't close their eyes to the goodness they did to you. And that was must always be remembered. So here we see two things. First of all, HaKadosh HaTeva is not a different quality. That's just merely showing chesed, but to someone that did chesed to you. And secondly, that's why it's such a basic, simple quality. It's not demanding from you the great chesed of Avraham. And therefore, someone who cannot do that, someone who lacks HaKadosh HaTeva, and that was Ammon and Moab, they lacked that. That's someone who is not even a person. I had always heard of the name of Rav Utna. I don't remember if I heard this from himself or I read it in his writings. Well, he would say that from his experience amongst the Gedalim, when they came across a person that could show no appreciation for the goodness that was once shown to him by someone else, They don't want anything to do with that person. They would say, like, can mention it. It's not a person. They don't want anything to do with them. So you see, it's not just another good midah. It's from the very fundamental qualities of a human being. In other words, we're not asking you for the chesed Avraham. We're asking you for the chesed just to repay the debt. And then recently, I read from Rav Avraham Yitzchok Kook, Zichrein Avracha, where he was an all-forgiving person. All kind of people tried to harm him. They insulted him. They did this. He would always be Mavir Amidesef. He would say, look, I'm not interested in my personal honor, and so forth and so on, and he would always be forgiving. But there been a case where once many people would write him, being chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, they would write him. He had a lot of influence with the British, who at that time occupied Eretz Yisrael, because he was the official spokesman for the Jews in Israel and Palestine. So many people from Europe would write him if he could do something to get them immigration papers to be allowed to come into Palestine. So once a person wrote him, and I think it was a person of stature, wrote him, and he went out of his way and he did a lot of work to use his influence by the British authorities to get this person immigration papers to come into Eretz Yisrael. The person came to Eretz Yisrael. There was a lot of politics going on there. And unfortunately, tragically, the Jews were divided. And there was a lot of misnagdim, a lot of people against Rav Kook. It was a different camp. This person, from Europe yet, had a lot of ties to this camp. But in Europe, there wasn't the antagonism. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, so he starts to settle into that so-called camp, and he saw that the hatred that was going on between that camp and Rav Kook. And he even saw that if he will pay an official visit to Rav Kook, it could destroy his reputation amongst the camp that he's living in. Therefore, he didn't come to see Rav Kook. As the time went on, Rav Kook was invited to be a Sandik at a bris. I believe it could have been of, and this person was involved. So Rav Kook, he turned it down. He says, I'm not going. And his Talmidim asked him. He mentioned, because that person is there. And the Talmidim asked him, but this is not like you at all. Even your greatest antagonists and enemies, you kept it at the merely at the political level, not at the personal level. It's a personal simcha. He says, no, this is something else. A person doesn't have the keach to show akoras hatov. After what I did for him, he doesn't have the strength or courage or whatever it might be to come and visit me and to thank me for it. No, I will have nothing to do with a person like that. Maybe that's where Rav Utna learned it from, because Rav Utna was a Talmud of him. But this is what we're speaking about. Because that's, in Yiddish, I would say, can mention it. That's not a person. That's how far it goes. It's getting late, so we have to close. But being that it's Elul, the month before Rosh Hashanah, let me just conclude with the Gemara in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara brings and Daf Yud Ches. Omar de Omar Rav Shmuel Barami, Vyami lo Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omar Rav Yenesan, Minayin Legzadin, Shiyeshi Ma'ishfua, Sheina Nikra. How do we know that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a gzadin, a decree, and he takes an oath on it, then it can't be reversed. Because Eli's sons became very, very cruel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu became so angry with them. This was the sons, the children of the Kohen Gadol. They became so angry. He says, Lachem Nishbati, this is in Shmuel Aleph Gimel. Lachem Nishbati Leveis Eli, Im Yishaper Ovon, Beis Eli Bezevach Ubemincha. Therefore, I swear that the house of Eli will never be atoned with a zevach or a mincha, with any sacrifice. And because of that, we found, it states, V'chol marbis beischo yamusa anoshim. All of the children of that household will die before the men. So we found there was a decree on the house of Eli for generations, forever, that they will all die before they reach the age of 18. Heaven forbid. But Rava came along and he said, it's true, that cannot be reversed. That even with a zevach or a mincha, even with a sacrifice, this will not be reversed. But the Rava said, notice it says zevach or mincha, eina mischaper. Aval mischaper betorah. With sacrifices, it will not be reversed. But with Torah, it will be. That's what Rava said. Some say Rabba. Abaye omar, b'zevach u'mincha eina mischaper, aval mischaper b'teiru gmilas chasodim. It will not be atoned and reversed through sacrifices, but it will be reversed and atoned through Torah and gmilas chesed. Both. Then the Gemara tells us that Rabba and Abaye made a base Eli Kosu. Rabba and Abaye came from the house of Eli. Rabba dosik b'Torah chayar boin shnin. Rabba that learned Torah and taught Torah, he lived to 40. Even though there was a decree on that household they wouldn't live till past 18, he lived till 40. Abaye dosik b'Torah gemilas chasodim, and Abaye that learned Torah and also did chesed, he lived to 60. Tona Rabbona Mishpacha Achasoyis of Yerushalayim Sheyam Meso Meseo Mesim Bnei Yud Chashona. There was a family in Yerushalayim that its members would die when they reached 18. Bo Beidias Rabbi Yochem and Zakeh. They came to Rabbi Yochem and Zakeh to tell them about this. Amalem Shemem Mishachas Eli Atem. Maybe you are from the family of Eli. So he said, Luchu Ba'asku B'Torah. You go study Torah, and you will live. They went and they studied Torah, and they lived to older ages. And they called that family on the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan Zaka. So here we see, is another maimer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Zevach u'mincha lechafatzti. I'm not interested in Zevach u'mincha, in sacrifices. I'm interested in the chesed kofatzti, v'lei zevach u'mincha. I'm interested in the gemilas chesed that you do to each other. And the Maral explains why does chesed mechaper. We see chesed has the power to be mechaper. It's actually both chesed and Torah. There's another posuk that states, emes v'chesed mechaper oven. What is the posuk? Chesed v'emes mechaper oven. So, emes is Torah. Now, why? So the Maral says Torah we can understand because through learning of Torah, you cleave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is the same as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And chet comes from the earthliness in man. A person learns Torah and he elevates himself above the chet. Therefore, it's a kapora. But why chesed? Chesed is done with this world. She says the principle that we've mentioned many times tonight. Because chesed is not an earthly principle. An earthly being cannot do chesed. At the ultimate. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's quality. That's the Derech Hashem. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's quality. To be a nosein, a giver. A giver without any external influence or imperative. Just because you want to give to others. The Avas Habriyas. The Avas HaChesed. That's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's quality. And that he gave as a special gift to the Tzelem Elokim. So when a person is Isaac and Chesed, through this also, he is Dovak. He cleaves to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and elevates himself from hate, which comes from the earthliness of man. And that's what we don't find it. You'll not find it by the animal kingdom. If they give, they give because of instinct. And you don't find it amongst the nations of the world to that much. You find it by individuals, but not the nations of the world. And this was the greatness of Abraham, who elevated and excelled amongst all of the nations of the world. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Abraham and his seed, because Abraham was the power not only to do, but where he would inculcate it into his children forever. And that's why we are obligated. Firstly, those that didn't have it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not, they can't come to Abraham's house. That was a non v'amor. And heaven forbid, Klal Yisrael shouldn't have it. Therefore he said, Leis Esai Mitzri. Do not reject the Mitzri. We should all be zeicher to strive for this great midah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.